Good afternoon. I thank you for another opportunity to come and speak the Word of God with you today. I was in China this whole week from Monday through Friday. I teach at Canadian International School, and I was there with my grade 6 students. It was crazy. We had 120 grade 6 students and 11 staff, so we had to take care of them. It's very tiring, but I'm glad to be back in Hong Kong. And all of us were traveling. Actually, me, Pastor Sam Kim was traveling. Pastor Sam also is traveling. So we appreciate your prayers. Recently, a few weeks ago, I came across this book and / movie called Conversations with God. Can I just get a show of hand of how many people have heard of this book or this movie? So, okay, a few of you. Okay. Well, I saw it in a preview because I guess they're making a movie out of this book called Conversations with God. And I was curious after seeing the preview as to whether this was a legitimate book, you know, about our faith. And so I wanted to check it on the internet. And this Saturday, I got to check it on the internet. I got to tell you, it's one of the most ridiculous junk I've ever read in my life. Encourage you not to go watch it. Don't waste your time watching a movie or reading a book like this. It's about this man who is going through some really tough times in his life, and he's at the rock bottom, and he calls out to somebody, right? He's saying, you know, how can I make my life better? What should I do to get it together? And he hears the voice, you know, he hears a voice that says, are you just asking a question, or do you really want to know the answers? So he's like, oh yeah, I want to know the answers. And he feels like he's hearing God talk to him. So he jots down all these notes, and later on it becomes a book. But that's what happens when some guy thinks that he's hearing the voice of God and does not check it with the Bible, which is what God's already given us. He's already revealed himself to us in the Bible. And whatever we feel like we're hearing from God, we need to make sure that it's in accordance with the Bible. And I can tell you that book is not in accordance with the Bible. He's very New Agey. He's all about God is in all of us and we are all together, God, and it's a cycle of life and junk. Anyways, so I'm excited that I get to share a scripture with you today. So let's get into the scripture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, if you raise your hand, our ushers will get you a Bible. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Philippians 3, verse 7 through 11. I'll go ahead and read it. You can follow along. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Dear God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day we can get together as a church and worship you, God, and meet with you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come, and we're glad that you're here, and I pray that you would reveal the scripture to us, and I pray that you will open our ears and open our hearts to hear and to receive what you're saying to us, and I pray that this word will change us, God, and really minister to us, and we thank you. We give you this whole time. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I would like to give you a little bit of background information on the book of Philippians. Philippians is a letter by Paul to a church in Philippi. He was on a missionary journey, a long missionary journey through Asia and through Europe. And when he was in Philippi, he preached the gospel and he started a church there. And after a while, he left Philippi, came back to Jerusalem, and lots of things happened. And eventually, he was arrested in Jerusalem. And he became a prisoner, and he was sent to Rome. And this letter that he's writing to the church in Philippi, he is writing this as a prisoner in Rome, okay? And if you look at Paul in the Bible, he's a fascinating character. He's a man who was really full of passion. He was a very passionate man and full of zeal. And whatever he thought was right, he gave his everything into it. You know, he wasn't half-hearted. You know, if he thought that this was the right way, he went all the way for that thing that he thought was right. If we look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 through 6, we get a bit more of a background on what Paul was like. So I'll read it to you guys. Verse 2, "Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law found blameless." So he's giving us a little glimpse of his past, and he's telling us that he was a true, full-on follower of the law, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You know, he was circumcised the eighth day, which was the correct day to be circumcised on. And tribe of Benjamin is significant because King Saul, the first king of Israel, came from the tribe of Benjamin. So he's saying, in terms of his greatness as a Pharisee, he was the man. You know, he had everything going for him. He spent his whole life trying to become righteous through fulfilling the law, and he tried to be the best Pharisee in the world. He was a scribe. He knew the scripture, and he even went so far to persecute the Christians because he thought that his way was the right way, you know? And but after meeting Jesus, we see in verse 7, after encountering Jesus, after getting to know Jesus for who he is, Paul says, "Whatever things were gained to me," you know, whatever things were gained to him by being such a great Pharisee. You know, by being a Pharisee who knew the word and who was such a high-ranked Pharisee, he must have had all the fame, right, the status, the respect of men, the honor that came from men because he was such a good Pharisee. I mean, those were the religious leaders of that time, and people looked up to him. You know, people looked up to Paul. They thought Paul was great. You know, he was a great religious leader, and he had all this status, all the respect that came from being this great figure in the world, in Jerusalem. But he says, all those things, whatever things were gained to me, he has counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And he continues on, he says, even more than that, he counts all things to be loss compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. And you look at Paul's life, he's not just saying that, right? Because he's writing this as a prisoner in Rome. He truly has given up all those things of being a Pharisee, the respect, the status, and to get to know him, he has actually given up these things. And he met Christ Jesus, and he fell so in love with him that nothing else really mattered to Paul. You know, all, his whole life was about Jesus Christ and getting to know him and getting closer to Jesus. But if we look at our own lives, we spend so much time trying to build up ourselves. You know, we spend so much time trying to make ourselves, get us to a position where we can have status, you know, where we feel like we've got it together, we've made it in the world, you know, we're doing pretty well. I, especially in Hong Kong, I feel like our job and what we do, it defines us. You know, everywhere you go, when you meet somebody, the first question you ask is, oh, so what do you do? Where do you work? You know, what kind of job do you have? I know it's small talk, and sometimes we need to do it to get to know a person, but behind these surface level questions, sometimes what we're asking is really, how successful are you? You know, how made it are you in the world? How much do you have it together in this world? And it's because the world puts so much emphasis on our status. The world puts so much emphasis on how successful we are, how much money we make. And we feel like if we have those things together, then we are somebody in the world, you know. And we strive for that so much in this life. I'm tired of how fake I can be when I meet people. You know, when I meet someone new in Hong Kong, you know, I feel like I always have to appear so, you know, like I've got it together, you know, like I'm a classroom assistant, which is not really a teacher at my school, but I always add, oh, but I'm going to school, you know, to get my teaching degree, and I'm gonna become a teacher. Yeah, I don't want to be someone who's got no direction in life, I mean, whatever, you know, like, and I say, oh, and I started pastoring, you know, I'm youth pastoring now at church, and I want to always appear like I've got it together, you know, I'm doing all right. And yeah, we spend so much time, so much energy trying to get to a place where we can proudly say, hey, you know, look at me. I'm doing pretty well for myself. But the truth is, I'm wasting all this time trying to be somebody. I'm wasting all this time trying to build up myself and trying to build a kingdom for myself in this world when all that really matters, if you think about it, if you can really understand the value of knowing Christ Jesus, I mean, this, all this compared to the value of knowing Christ is nothing. You know, it's like Paul says, it's rubbish. But we spend so much time, we waste so much time trying to make a name for yourself. You know, people always say you gotta leave something behind for the world and you gotta build a legacy, you know. I mean, what do you want to be remembered for, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, really, what matters is how much you live for God. And if you compare it to the value of knowing Christ Jesus on earth, what you do on this earth and how much fame or status or respect you get on this life, it's incomparable. That's the right word, right? Incomparable to how great Christ is. And God reminds us through Paul's writing that compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ, these things are but garbage, right? He says in verse 8, he goes on, I count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. That word rubbish, the literal word in Greek, it is actually crap. Like, he's actually using the word dung, and it was an offensive word. So it could be translated crap or even the S word, which I won't mention at church, right? So he's really saying, compared to the value of knowing Christ, not that these things are bad, you know, not that getting fame and respect and status, that's good, you know, I mean, we all like that. We all want to be someone that's got it together and that appears to have know things and is good. But if you compare it to the value of knowing Christ, because this is so great, because this is so magnificent, so awesome, all this is nothing. All this, I mean, he calls it crap, because this is, if you compare the two, this is nothing. And so if you look at Paul's life, he truly gave up his position. He truly gave up his position as a Pharisee. He gave up his comfortable living. He gave up his wife. He gave up his family. And he became a missionary. You know, he chose to live for God because he just wanted more of Christ. He met Christ. He was in love with Christ. And he gave his whole life to living for Christ. And it's through the things that he gave up. It's through the things that he gave up. And he says, I suffered the loss of all things, right? It's through the things that he lost that he got to know Christ better. And here I want to talk to you guys a little bit about suffering for Christ, suffering for God. I feel that God has given me this insight into suffering because I never used to understand why, you know, because the Bible says rejoice when you're suffering for God. I'm like, how do you rejoice? Let's look at some scripture that says that. It says, first of all, in verse 10, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to be in fellowship with Christ's sufferings, being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, Peter says, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. I was like, I never understood it, because how can you rejoice when you're going through suffering? You know, how do I accept all these sufferings when all this time I thought that Jesus was supposed to make my life better, right? Because that's why we believe, right? I mean, if Jesus is will just make us suffer all the time, why would anyone come to a faith in Jesus Christ? So I couldn't understand why Peter was saying, rejoice to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And this kind of suffering, I'm not talking about when you do something wrong and God's disciplining you, or I'm not talking about when you do something wrong and you suffer as a consequence, but when you're living for God, when you're doing the right thing and you're suffering as a result of trying to live for God, this is the type of suffering Peter is talking about, right? And you know the reason why we can rejoice? It's because through our suffering, we get to know Christ better. That's the reason why we can rejoice in the midst of our sufferings. Because through our sufferings, we get to know Christ better. We get to identify with the way Christ suffered on the cross, with the way Christ suffered in the world as he was following the will of the Father. And that's why they use the term like fellowship with Christ's suffering and sharing in the suffering of Christ and participating in the sufferings of Christ. Because as we suffer on this earth for doing what's right, we are sharing in what Jesus Christ had to go through on the earth. And through that, we get to identify with him. You know, Korean men, most Korean men living in Korea have to go to the army. They have to suffer for 2 to 3 years in the army, and it's not an easy task. I know Singaporeans do too, right? I don't know how bad it is in Singapore, but in Korea, if you're a Korean guy, young guy, you've heard it all your life, how bad and how crappy it is to go to the army and spend 2.5 years there and have to go through all this training. It's intense training, and it's the food's not that good, and you get beat up for no reason, and you get treated like rubbish from all the people that's of higher rank to you, because they wanna put you in your place, basically, and they wanna give you as much trouble as possible. You know, they wanna give you as much difficulty as possible. I don't, for some reason, that's why. I mean, that's the whole point. That's of the army. But you know, if you see a Korean man, like an older Korean man of, you know, the generation before me, and they see, you know, they're hanging out with another Korean guy, and they begin talking about the army, there's a bond. You know, there's a bond that I will never understand, because I haven't been to the army, and praise the Lord, I'll never go to the army because I don't have to. But, you know, there's a bond between them, because they know the sufferings that they've been through in the army. They don't even have to talk about how the specifics of the army. You know, they just know. And they have a sense of camaraderie. They have a sense of, like, understanding each other, you know? They understand each other, they trust each other, and they feel close to each other because they know that they went through the same sort of sufferings. And it's like that with anything, right? I mean, if you had a sickness or something and someone else shared that same sort of sickness, you can identify, you sympathize, and you empathize with the person. And people that have been through the war, like if you talk to them and you see them interact with other people that have been through the war, they don't like to talk about it because it was terrible times, but they know and that they can trust each other better because they both know what kind of suffering and what kind of hardship they went through. And in the same way, when we go through suffering on this earth because we're living for God, because we're trying to do the right thing, you know, because we're trying to go after God. You know, say you're being ridiculed or something at work. You know, you've made a confession of your faith and people think you're stupid for believing in Jesus or whatever. You know, when you're going through the difficult times, you can say to Jesus, you know, Jesus, this must have been kind of like the suffering you went through when you were on the earth. You know, and we share in the suffering of Christ. We identify with what Christ had to go through on the earth. And through this, we get to know Jesus better, right? Because we share this sense of camaraderie even with Jesus. And this is why Peter can say, rejoice to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, because when we share the sufferings of Christ on the earth, we get to know him that much better, you know, that much closer to Jesus and that much closer to what he had to go through, and we can identify with him that much better. And there is great rejoicing in getting to know God better. And plus, the suffering on the earth is momentary, right? It's not going to be forever you're going to suffer. Jesus doesn't say, follow me and your life will be forever miserable, right? He promises us abundant blessings and an abundant blessing and abundant life here on earth, as well as an eternal reward in heaven. So in suffering, we can rejoice because we know that it's only going to be short. You know, if people ridicule you, who cares? Because in the end, you're going to look back and you're going to know that God's brought you through everything and he's blessed you and he's kept you. And I'm not saying that we should go out there and look for ways to suffer, you know. We're not saying you should give up your comfortable or give up your jobs and become a missionary all of a sudden. But I am saying that our focus in life needs to be something bigger than just building for ourselves a name, a kingdom, you know, for yourself on the earth. You know, our focus in life needs to go beyond this to living for God, living for Christ, because through this you will get to know Jesus Christ better, and that is the greatest possible thing that can happen in your life. Yes, our focus needs to go from living for ourselves on the earth to living for Jesus Christ. And if you're living for Jesus and if you're living for God and you happen to go through suffering, you can rejoice even further, right? Because through the suffering, you get to know Christ better. And the thing is, if you're focused on building for ourselves our own kingdom on the earth, you're not gonna be able to know Jesus Christ to the degree that you really should know Jesus Christ. You know, if you're just living your life for yourself, trying to make a name for yourself and trying to get to a place of status and just, you know, just living for your own kingdom, your own name here, you're not gonna get to know Jesus Christ fully and in a deeper way than maybe what you get on Sunday service or at Wednesday Bible study. And that's good because you get to know him a little bit on Sundays, on Wednesdays when you hear the word. But your whole life needs to turn, you know, your focus needs to be changed into living for God. Because if you're living for yourself, it's hard for you to know Jesus Christ. And I must talk about the surpassing value of knowing Christ, because it is only because Christ is so great. It's only because God is so amazing, so awesome, and beyond our comprehension, incredible, that we can confess, you know, we can say, I have counted all things to be lost compared to the value of knowing Christ. You know, because the key word is compare to, right? If you don't compare it to something that's better, then yeah, your life is great. I mean, if you have a great job and you've got a great family, you've got a great car, you live at a big, nice place, that's great, and you make a name for yourself. I mean, these things are awesome, right? I mean, everybody wants this, but the thing is, if you compare it to something that is so much better, if you compare it to something that is so much greater and more awesome, then this, you know, our worldview changes, you know, and we can truly say that this is nothing compared to the greatness of Jesus. And it's hard to describe it in words, right? It's hard to talk about it and explain it in words, how great God is and how great Jesus is, unless you experience it yourself, unless you have an encounter with Jesus as to how great he is and who he really is. It's hard for you to understand. You won't be able to understand where Paul's coming from or where I'm coming from, you know, to say that knowing Christ is better than living a good life on earth. But Paul, if you study him, he encounters Jesus. He used to be a persecutor of the church, right? And he's on his way to go persecute some more Christians and kill them. But on his way to doing that, Jesus meets him and he has an encounter with Jesus. He meets him and experiences Jesus for who he is. Jesus speaks to him and his life is completely changed. You know, his life is never going to be the same because he falls in love with Jesus. Jesus has become the center of his life because Jesus is worth it. If you meet him, if you encounter Jesus, you would really know that all this life, I mean, what's the point of life compared to the great value of knowing Jesus? And my life will never be the same because I have had the privilege of encountering Jesus. And I see and I know that knowing Jesus is better, greater, more excellent than all the things that this life can give me. We need to consider who Jesus is, right? Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. So if we are able to know Jesus, we're also getting to know God. I mean, think about that. We're able to know the God of the universe, right? The God who created all things. He's the infinite creator of all things, who also loves us, right? Who also wants to pour out his blessing upon us, and who cares for us. He is so great, yet he knows each and every one of us, and he cares for us. It's this infinite creator of the universe that we have a chance to know. You know, God's given us the ability and the opportunity to get to know Christ. But instead of doing that, we spend our whole life living for ourselves, you know, trying to make sure that, oh, people will see me and they'll think that I'm doing well. You know, I mean, what a pointless life to live if you're living your life for your own kingdom, for your own name, when there is something so much greater that you can experience in life, which is Jesus Christ, which is knowing God. I mean, you can't even describe him, right? He's unfathomable. You can't comprehend him. That's the kind of God that we can know, but we spend this life living for something else. And God reminds us today through Paul's writings that these things are but rubbish, and he's calling you to give these things up and live for Christ. And I would like to sing a song for you guys. It's an old hymn written in the 1920s. And if you know the song, you can sing along. If you don't know it, I encourage you just to meditate on the words. I like to sing, and I hope that it will bless you in some way. Do you have it up there? It's called I'd Rather Have Jesus. There's a guitar on. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king said, slay. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Let's close our eyes.